Hey everybody, and welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week we're joined by one of the wonderful EV Cafe team to interview somebody brilliant from across our industry. This week I'm with John, JC. Welcome.
He does all that without a safety net, you know. No script, no nothing, just boom. Quite remarkable, Paul.
Love you too, JC. But do you know what? I am quite giddy and excited because we do have a truly lovely gent of our industry, a pioneer, an innovator, and a collaborator, somebody that just kind of gets done. And that is Colin Boyan from Green Fleet Events. Welcome, Colin.
Hi, boys. You all right?
Hello, mate.
I used to say big Cole, but now I'm going to say diminishing Cole.
Slightly lesser Cole. Yeah.
Slightly lesser Cole.
It's been a year, let me say.
But,
good to be here, boys.
Good to be here. And look, I mean, let's get it out of the way. For those of you on YouTube, there is Cole's a walking advert in himself, but also his background is a walking advert. Cole, what is this wonderful thing that you've got displayed behind you? Everybody, this is Cole, the pioneer of what he's about to tell you.
The EV Rally.
Rally.
Yeah. What a beast that's turned into. We obviously, or I work for a brand called Green Fleet. We do events. We've been going for 25 years. 20 years of that, we've been doing events. And in 21, I think it was, when COP26 was up in Glasgow,
that's right.
We launched the EV Rally of Scotland, or Evros. And the idea was just to sort of see what EVs could do in the Highlands of Scotland over the course of 1,200 miles and 5 days. And we put 23 of them on the road. We nearly broke the infrastructure up there. We got wet, cold, miserable, and all of that.
Grumpy.
But we did it. And, massive achievement for me personally, but for my team and also for everybody that was involved. And it's sort of grown arms and legs since then to something that won Event of the Year in the media industry in 22. And again, this year we've sort of pushed the boundaries a little bit further and sort of created the biggest one that we've ever done. And obviously we've got plans for what we're doing next year. So, EV Rally, it's a moving showcase, isn't it, of sort of EV capability. It's showcasing the charging and infrastructure. It's about collaboration and everybody sort of working for the greater good of sort of e-mobility, if you like.
Colin, how did it come about? Sorry, hang on. I've got to say this, first of all, Cole, it's unbelievable. John, you can carry on.
Colour in the EV. Yeah, go on.
So how did it come about? Where was the idea originally? Was it you that kind of sat there and thought, we've got to do something? And it just came into your head, or was it?
It literally was. I was sat at home. It was in about February 21. We were already commissioned by Glasgow Council to do an event for them, a Green Fleet event for them, in the November during COP26. And I thought, well, while the eyes of the world are on Glasgow in November, what else can we do to sort of show the rest of the world what the UK is up to with EV? And I jumped on my PC at home. I created a graphic that said the EV Rally of Scotland. I bodged together a logo. EV Rally of Scotland, be a part of something unbelievable with the EV in a different colour. Mm-hmm. And I dropped it on LinkedIn. And within 10 minutes, my LinkedIn was going nuts. Like, I was getting messages from people, can I drive my Tesla in your rally? And all this sort of nonsense. And I'm like, no, that's not what this is. And I literally came into the office the following morning and I said to Jason, look, this is what I've done. I think we're onto something. And to be fair to Jay, most of the time, if I've got an idea that I've had over the years, he says, just run with it, see where it goes. And that's what I did. And it's sort of turned into what it is now. So, yeah, it's just an idea that popped in my head.
I was one of those people that got in touch straight away. Do you remember? Mm. called Vanarama. I was at Vanarama at the time. Although I had left by the time the event came around.
The event took place.
But I saw that and I just thought, wow, that's a really cool thing. So I ran it past the team in Vanarama. I thought it's a brilliant opportunity for content, which is what Vanarama are all about. And a great opportunity to demonstrate the success, the impending kind of opportunity that electric vehicles made. And quite honestly, it was a slam dunk. I mean, it wasn't, for a business like Vanarama, it wasn't a small amount of money to kind of think about, but it made sense. It was a good investment that would give them lots and lots of content and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, I ended up doing that rally with Maxis. And, we had horizontal rain at one point at the charge point, I remember. And then the video got played at the end of the year. And I was like, I just was like, wanted the world to swallow me up because of this bloody event. And I was like, oh, gosh. Yeah. Anyway, it was an incredible event. And did you ever dream that it could be as cool as it is?
No. I remember John said to me the following year, because at the finish line of Evros in year one, I was being asked, we were at a Mercedes dealership, if I remember right, in Glasgow.
Western Mercedes.
That's it. And someone was saying, a few people were asking me, what are we doing next year? And I thought, okay, I'm onto something here. Now, I'd already half secured headline sponsorship from Lex. They wanted in, but because of yourself and Vanarama, Lex weren't allowed to play. So I already sort of had that in the bag, and it was a question then of would anybody else that's actually done it want to come and do it again? And pretty much everybody did. I mean, certainly the AA, DriveTech, the boys at Webfleet, they all stuck with us. Maxis, yeah, absolutely. They all stuck with us, and we done John O'Groats to Land's End, and the event doubled in size in terms of number of vehicles. There was 23 in year one. It was 46 in the second year. And John said to me at the finish line, when we were all at Land's End, and I remember John was sort of here, the crowd of drivers were sort of to my left, and he said, what's been your highlight of the week? And I just looked at everyone, and I went, this lot, the people. Yeah. And that's what it's about. It is about the people. And no, I didn't think it would ever get this big and become this widely spoken about. I mean, I do go to shows now where I say I'm from Greenfleet and we do the EV rally. Oh, the EV rally. Mm. Yeah, we've heard of that. You know, so, I mean, we do sort of make a bit of a noise on LinkedIn, as you know. I'm extremely proud of it. But it's not me. I've got a great team behind me. I've got from top to bottom, above and below. And then I've got you guys and everybody else, you know, the mainstays of the rally who have helped, you know, take it to where it is now.
Thank you. I think the thing that strikes me most, Colin, about what you achieve is you bring people together.
Hmm.
You are a real connector of people. I met Paul because of you. Hmm. We were at Harlequins at a Greenfleet conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Paul walking into the room and you said to me, here, that's that high up geezer, at least plan. You've got to talk to him. He's a top bloke. He does lots of video content and stuff. Make sure you ask a question of him. And sure as eggs were eggs, Paul put his hand up to ask a question. I'm like, yes, you, sir. And that was it. And we were off and running. Yeah. And I don't think sometimes you get credit for the sort of weaving together of people and stuff that you do in the background. You're a master tactician.
Okay, thank you. Look, stuff doesn't happen if you, I mean, all right, it does happen if you try and play off furry yourself. But with what we're trying to do, all of us, you know, it needs the collective, doesn't it? And the only way you can do that is bring people together, educate, collaborate, and just try and work for the greater good. And that's what our events try to achieve, and clearly they do to an extent, but the rally definitely does that.
And Cole, listen, you guys have been at this 20, 25 years. How long have you been with the Green Fleet business? Is it all of that time?
I was here before Green Fleet was purchased by PSI, which is the company I work for.
Right.
So I'm... what year are we in? 24.
Yeah.
I've been here 29 years. It'll be 30 years in March.
Oh, my gosh. So you've seen the whole... Damn,
I've seen this
caboodle.
Business at when I joined PSI, it wasn't even called PSI at the time.
Yeah.
We were publishers of one little magazine. There were six of us, a little magazine for local and central government that's still going now. And yeah, we sort of introduced a few more titles. Then in 2004, the chairman here, he bought Green Fleet, which was a very poor looking magazine, and it had an awards attached to it, but it had been put on the back burner. The whole green thing hadn't really taken off. So sort of hats off to my chairman, who sort of saw a bit of a gap in the market there and could see where this was potentially going to go. So we bought it, we gave the magazine a refresh, we relaunched the awards, and in 2005, and yeah, that's where we are now.
Wow.
So 20 years this year, the awards.
It's just phenomenal. I mean, the you are the person who's dishing out all of the awards, and you know, it's wonderful to be part of that and to see the family, the Green Fleet family, and the wider community come together at the Green Fleet Awards. When are you going to get an award? Where do you get your recognition from?
Jason, for starters, my boss, my partner. My son, and then look, you guys, to be fair to you, you're very kind when I meet you and when we're talking publicly, and it's all very very humbling. I don't need pieces of glass. I've got some in front of me, where we have our internal staff awards and stuff like that every year. I've got a couple on the windowsill in front of me, which either are for me individually or for the team. I've even got one skinniest queen in the office, Mr. Greenfleet, Colin Boyton, because I've lost a few shavings of timber, shall we say, over the last few months. And it's sponsored by Weight Watchers. Right, okay. They were testing a new shape of trophy and whether we could get our artwork on it, and that's what Holly came up with, bless her. So, but look, no, I'm not in this for any personal glory. I'm in it. I'm very, very proud of what I do and what we have done. Don't get me wrong. I'm immensely proud. This is all about trying to make a difference, right? That's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Paul, go on.
So what is the engine in Colin Boynton? Because look, I mean, you know, you don't just kind of fall into this thing. I mean, how did you get here? Like, I mean, like, let's go back to like school, and then what were your aspirations as you came out? How Colin was made.
I wanted to be a graphic designer when I was at school. And yeah, I loved all that, all art and whatever else. So that was my thing. When I was about 15, I started working in a kitchen in a Toby Carvery. When I left school, it was a choice. I got offered to go full time at this place, and earn reasonably good money for a kid of 16. Or go to college and not have a penny in my pocket and whatever else. So I chose to work, and I stuck at that for a wee while. Then I moved into electrical wiring things. honestly, it was nonsense. It was a local company. This is how good I was. On my first day, they sent me down the stores, right? So naive first day boy sent me down the stores with this list. And I stood in front of the stores manager or whatever. And I said, right, I need a bubble for a spirit level. some striped paint, a straight hook, a left-handed screwdriver, and he just took the list off me, screwed it up. He went, "Get back to your workshop, newbie." They've stitched you up. Anyway, I lasted there, I don't know, I was about 9-10 months. And then the company relocated. So I had to start looking. And this, my first venture into sales, I went and got a job selling courier services to businesses in London. So motorcycle couriers. And so I was basically selling accounts. And I'd done really quite well at it for my first venture into sales. So that's where I realized, that's where I realized I could sort of maybe earn some money by talking for a living and talking nonsense. and my father became ill in January 1990. And my dad's lived in Wales since I was four. So my mum and dad separated when I was very, very young. So single parent family and that kind of upbringing. He had quite a bad heart attack and a triple heart bypass. So I moved up to North Wales, and this was sort of early 90s, as I said. And I was only, 19 at the time, 20. And I was earning pretty good money with a job that I got up there. And this was before the dawn of the internet. And I was selling cars by computer, believe it or not. I don't know if you guys ever remember a company in London called Car Data. I can still remember their jingle in my head. And it basically what it was, people who had a car for sale in the Auto Trader, we'd ring them up and we'd say, give us 50 quid and we'll put your car on our database until sold for 50 quid. If it doesn't sell in 7 days, we'll give you 2 flights to Paris or Amsterdam. If it doesn't sell within 14 days, we will list your car in the Sunday Observer and it will still remain with us until sold. So for 50 quid. So I went in and I'm trying to sell these things. On my first day, I think I got about 13 deals, and everyone else was getting twos and threes. And I walked down the stairs, and the chairman was clapping me and this, that, and the other. And I built myself up from a nobody. And I'm bearing in mind, I'm 19 years old. I was sales director within 8 months. And wow. We opened up offices in 4 different towns. And I was responsible for the lot. And then my life took a bit of a turn. Let's say I went off the rails a little bit. Which we'll come on to a little bit later, I'm sure, about my sort of my personal stuff. And then I moved back down to this area, which is Essex. And then I literally came for a job at New Concepts in Publishing, as it was at the time, selling advertising space in this one magazine. And here I am, 30 years later. The business grew. We started to feature exhibitions in the magazines that we published, and then a natural progression for many publishers was to move into events themselves, and that's what we've done. Mm.
Wow, what a
that's how I got here.
That's like, because I mean, there's so much in there, and obviously we want.
I don't like to talk, do I?
but you say so much good stuff, mate, and that's the challenge is picking up which bits. I had a fairly tricky start in life, as I think you and I have talked about. It's difficult, isn't it? But you find the successes that give you then the confidence. Did you come out of, because obviously, single parent family and that kind of thing, it can be challenging. Did you find that you needed that building up, that kind of, had you got the right stuff in you at 16, or was it a building up?
Far from it. I was bullied at school. So I had my sort of close network of friends, but I had a bit of a rough time at school. It was okay, but I didn't like it towards the end. And I think I was in the pub at 15. I spent all of my study leave in the Half Moon in Epping. studying Pints of Light and Bitter, which was about £1.15 at the time. But I'd done my exams. I came out of that okay. But no, I had no tools. I had no father figure, no sort of male sort of guidance in my life, really. And my mum, bless her, she tried to do what she could. But at the end of the day, I think every young man needs a bit of authority and a bit of guidance in life. And that's what I've certainly tried to give my son. And my dad was there, but he was there at a distance, you know, sort of 250 mile away. Mm. And I saw him twice a year.
Wow. And I think that was the point I was going to make, Colin, was that you are a fiercely proud dad. Where does that come from? So who was your male role model that gave you that? Or was it the lack of that role model that made you think, that. I can do better than I had?
Absolutely that. It was trying to ensure that that Joe, my son, didn't, when he reaches crossroads in life, and we all reach them, it's picking the right road. And, you know, on a couple of occasions in mine, I picked the wrong one. And then when I hit my dead end, for want of a better phrase, I had to sort of pick myself up and either turn around and come back and start again or plough my own road to join up the one that I should have joined previously, if that makes sense. So it, for me, it's about making sure that Joe made the right decisions and touch wood. He's done just that, and not make the same mistakes as me. Because we all make them, right? I didn't want his to be as big as mine.
And it's about how you pick yourself up from those, isn't it? It's about what you do as a result of those mistakes. And clearly, you know, you've alluded to some errors of judgment, but the 30 years that you've been working in this industry, you've made a hell of an impact. You've saved lives, mate. Do you realise the sort of impact that you've had? But you have. Through your work, people's lives are better. There are people still breathing because of the work you've done. Is anybody, do you ever stop and think about that? Or is it just, right, got the next show, got the next event, got this to do?
I would say probably most of the latter there. Look, of course, I do think that what we do makes a difference for sure. And if it didn't, you know, I wouldn't be as passionate about it as I am. I'm not the most knowledgeable guy in the industry, far from it. But like you said, there are more knowledgeable people out there in this industry than I. And if I can bring those people together, that's when the change is going to happen. So that's what I try to do is what we try to do as a brand is to bring those people together that can really sort of make a difference.
And you do.
Cole, it's unusual for somebody to be in a job for 30 years in our industry, particularly in sales, probably even more so in events. It's normally a pretty transient industry. It's normally something that doesn't necessarily engender massive amounts of loyalty or, you know, those kinds of things. Why is it different for you?
Why is it different? I think there's a couple of factors. Let me say this from the get-go. Very, very rarely, and I can't think of the last time this happened, do I wake up in the morning and think, oh, my God, I've got to go work. I do enjoy my job. I do enjoy it. And there's not many people that can say that. I'm sure some of the footballers do, but not many. But I do actually like coming in and doing what we do. So that's the first thing. I think in terms of why I've stuck at it and what have you, I'm very fortunate to work with a family that have taken this business from something that wasn't going anywhere to, you know, allowing it to grow and whatever else. And then they've identified me as somebody that can help with that progression. And they've given me a sort of not a free rein, but if I've got an idea, generally Jason will let me run with it. And see where it goes. And, you know, we've come up with some duffs that, you know, nobody knows about because there were duffs that we tried and sort of didn't succeed. But most of the stuff we've tried, we've generally had success with. And as I said, I'm massively proud. It was Jason and I that effectively launched Greenfleet all those years ago. And to see where it's grown and where it's got to, over that period of time, I've got a massive amount of pride in that. Massive. And, I, you know, I've been offered jobs over the years. Of course I have. and I've turned them all down on the basis that A, I live 10 minutes down the road. I don't mind coming into work every day. I've got a boss who lets me pretty much get on with it. He doesn't put me under any pressure as such. And then I get to work with people like you guys and the rest in the industry that make it really rewarding. And then, like you just said, John, we do actually, what we do does actually make a difference.
Yeah. Feels like you own the business.
So I've got no intentions of going anywhere.
Yeah. Feels like you own the business. You're invested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not my business. Not. No. It's Jason and his family. It's their business. But I am, I'm fiercely loyal to them and to the brand or brands. And I work hard for them. But, you know, the flip side to that is, they let me work in an environment that I'm comfortable with that allows me to do the job how I want to do it. And clearly I don't do too bad. Otherwise they'd have pulled me or got rid of me. So
mm-hmm. You spoke about family, Colin. You mentioned family and I recall very vividly the day that you became very unwell. And suddenly you realized just how big your family was. Because there were an awful lot of people who were shocked to see you in a hospital bed.
Yeah, and very, very 43.
Yeah, and very fearful that we would lose you. Did that make any difference to you? Did that change who you were, that experience?
Of course it did. You know, I had to make some adjustments to my life, for sure. One of which has crept back in recently, but you know, we don't need to go there. It won't be there for long. But yeah, of course it was, a very, very humbling experience, you know, being in the back of an ambulance, looking at the back doors, saying to my wife, just make sure I see my son one more time. And then they put the blues and twos on and they're getting me to Basildon Heart Hospital and she's having to bring me round again because I had another massive jolt in the ambulance. I thought I was gone. I genuinely, genuinely thought I was gone. And they took me in there and, you know, I was laying on this. It felt like a slab. I remember it being very, very cold. And this guy is chatting away to me. And what I didn't know was that there was another guy that I couldn't see because I'm looking up at this doctor. Somebody else had my wrist and then all of a sudden all my heart and everything came up on this screen and he's chatting to me. Yeah, so you've had a heart attack, Mr. Boynton, but you know, don't worry about it. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah, you see that big blob there? That's a blockage. That's called plaque. What we're going to do now is put a balloon in, then we're going to put a stent in and blah, 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 blah. And they've done all of this stuff. And literally as they opened the stent and they deflated the balloon and the blood started to flow again and I sort of, I don't know, it was like this mad rush. I just burst out crying and I saw the surgeon that had actually done it. I didn't even know he was there and I was like, thank you for saving my life and all that. It was all very emotional and over the top. But it was a massive wake-up call for me, massive, that I had to make some changes to my life. So I did. And look, I mean, you know about the alcohol and stuff, which we'll I'm sure come on to, but I had to give up smoking. And I enjoyed a fag. I was one of those people that did enjoy a cigarette. Many people know me now with me puffer. I was very unwell, like you said, John, but I got through it and my family were there. And that was massive for me, huge. My family, both as my family and then my work family, some of the messages I got were incredible, really incredible. Yeah. Made me cry.
Yeah.
And what I'm beginning to understand, and I think I've always understood, I was really looking forward to today because I think you're a great guy, genuinely do.
Thank you.
Because...
Ditto.
But because... you're extremely human. And you and I, we've trodden similar paths in some ways, and we can talk as much or as little about it as you wish. But what it tells me, I mean, that was a defining moment for you, and you've mentioned the challenges around alcohol and other things. Talk to me a little bit about getting to rock bottom, because I think when you get to rock bottom, and as much or as little as you like, getting to rock bottom, I think makes us the human being that is so beautifully approachable. And we don't always have to agree, but we can always talk and we can always pick up the phone to each other and we can always connect. And I think this is what makes you different than a lot of people. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, my rock bottom was the 19th of June 2004. I was at the very, very height of my drinking. I was an alcoholic, although I hadn't admitted it until that defining day. I had a big battle with booze, it's quite common in the media industry, especially back then. You know, it was over the pub every day, blah blah blah. But my drinking started at 8 o'clock in the morning and didn't finish until literally my head hit the pillar. And then I'd wake up drunk. I never had a hangover. It was great because I'd woke up drunk the next morning. I'd carry on drinking. So that was how my life was for probably about 5 or 6 years leading up to the day I decided to do something about it. And it was a progression. It was a slow progression. You know, most people will have dabbled in this, that, and the other over their younger years, and I'm no different to those people. But it finally landed on booze, and that's where I sort of went. When I hit my bottom, my uncle took me to my first AA meeting, and wow, what a humbling experience that is. When you sit in a room and you hear the stories when people are sharing, and you realize, wow, I'm bad, but some of these people are, you know, seriously out of control, but they all were, and they've managed to get a grip of it, and they've admitted to themselves and to each other and to others what they are, and that's an addict, and it is an illness. I don't care what anyone says, it is an illness. I believe that everybody has got an addictive trait within them. It's whether or not it gets triggered, and mine was triggered. And when I've gone through therapy and bits and pieces that I did over the years, they have sort of traced it back to a couple of key moments in my life. And one was obviously my father leaving home when I was young, and also the bullying at school. That was another factor. So I had a massive low self-esteem, even though when I came into work, you know, I was very bright and very, not loud, but I could communicate at a decent level, even full of alcohol. I could still sell. So in work, I was a bit of a different beast. I was a working alcoholic. But anyway, I decided to get a grip of my life, and it was hard for the first 2 years, very, very hard. You know, when you're in events, you go away. My wife at the time, she wouldn't have known any different if I was to sit in my hotel room with a bottle of brandy, but I didn't. And one of the main reasons for that was my son. You know, I didn't want to lose my son, and I knew that if I started drinking again, I would lose him. So, he was the reason for me fighting so hard in those first few years. Now, I've got total and utter acceptance. I know I'm never going to drink again, and I'm fine with that. And I'm fine telling people my story. And you know, some people hear my story, and there are other branches to my story, which some people, when they do find it out and they listen to what I've gone through and what I've seen and what I've experienced, you know, the next time I see them, it's like, oh, tell me that bit again. Because they find it quite fascinating that somebody like me, and people who know me as me, wow, that was really you? You know, it's not just alcohol. I was a heroin addict for 2 years. I've had a massive problem with addiction. It then went on to peanuts, and a certain type of peanuts, I might add. I only had to have KP Other brands are out there, of course, and all of that nonsense, if we've got to do all that.
And now you're talking to PK. He's a nut as well. He's my,
and yeah, but then I blew up to about 23 stone, I think, because I was doing a massive bag of peanuts a night. See, that's my nature. My nature is I get very, very addicted to stuff. And and wine gums as well. Now everybody knows me and my wine gums. Mm. I have to have my wine gums. I have to eat them in a certain order and all that. So the old OCD bit comes in. Look, as I said, I'm not shy about my addiction. I've done a post when I was 20 years sober a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It actually, on the rally, two people pulled me aside, and these are two people that I had, one of them I'd never spoken to before and one of them I'd barely spoken to before. Both pulled me to one side separately and thanked me for doing that because they found it truly inspirational. They were very grateful, and I find that quite hard to hear, that they're grateful for me sharing my story I did, and the fact that I've gone through that stuff and here I am. But it's also pleasing to – I've helped people over the years, and I will continue to help people. If anybody wants my help, if they reach out and ask for help, I'll help them. That's what addiction has done to me. I've managed to come through it. I've built this life for myself, and I want to try and help people have even a bit of what I've managed to get, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes so much sense, and it just reinforces to me that actually the tough stuff in life is the stuff that really makes us.
Yeah, because definitely.
You are the person that you are sitting here today because you've had to fight a bit.
Mm.
A lot. And I can say me too to much of what you've talked about, but today's about you, and maybe we'll have another conversation another day, but the journey that you've been on has made you an absolute and in the right sense of the word, a mountain of a man, and a man that I deeply respect and really shout about. And think, wow, yeah, you're doing a great thing. What is the future for you as a human being? Not the business, yes, I get it. You know, we're going to do more and more and more things. What does the future look like for Cole? Have you got any dreams, any vision, things that you've never kind of got there yet to? What do you want?
I've got a bucket list that I've ticked a couple of things off, and a few things remain, definitely. I'm at the start of trying to rebuild my life again in a private life sense. I've got a new partner in my life, a wonderful, wonderful woman, Leanne, who's changed my life and has given me stuff that I didn't think I'd ever get. Where am I going?
Tell the story of Leanne coming to see you at the rally unexpectedly. Well,
she's lovely, by the way, everybody. This lady is lovely. Putting up with Cole, she's got to be.
I think the term you used was punching, wasn't it? Punching.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
No, look, we all know that the rallies, it's not a jolly up, is it? Let's be fair. No. You know, they're long, hard days and late nights and all that stuff. And we'd done the Beast, which was on the Wednesday. And we were heading down to literally 20 minutes away from where I live with Leanne. And we went to South Mimms, didn't we, to the service station there, to the Apple Green hub. And lo and behold, as I pulled up, I saw the car as I was driving in, and I thought, no. And then she got out of the car, and yeah, wow. it brought me to tears. I needed that. Yeah. I needed that pickup, you know, because I was starting to feel a little bit ill as well.
Right.
I wasn't feeling too clever, and I needed that boost. And boy, did she give me that shot in the arm that I needed. And she's a truly beautiful person. That's the thing about her. She's she's deep, very, very kind, and she's very loving. And she's very supportive. And I'm, you know, believe it or not, I'm quite, I need that. people to sort of put their arm around me now and again and tell me everything's going to be all right. And then I'll pick myself up and soldier on. And she does that. She's brilliant.
You're very similar, though, aren't you, in that you are thoughtful, you are kind, you are generous, and you do that for people. You know, there have been times when you put your arm around me. Yeah, you do. And so I can see why you and Leanne work so well. I've yet to meet her, but I sometimes judge people by their actions. And that very fact that she bothered to come and see you, knowing that that would make a difference in your day, was huge for me. Good on her.
Thank you. I'll thank her and all.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I was like so surprised. I was like, wow, that's really great, you know. And it was, but then she was quite chatty and just easygoing with everybody.
And she's not. Trust me, she's quite a shy girl. She's that was a little bit of a front to start with, and then the barriers come down. But she's she's a very, very kind and beautiful person inside and out. So.
How did you meet Colin?
I've known Leanne since we were young kids. We lived opposite each other on the same estate. And she lived next door to my best friend, who is still my best pal today. And when I sort of separated from my wife, obviously you do, don't you? You're on social media and bits and pieces. And she popped up with she'd done a post and I liked it. And then I messaged her and said, "How are you doing? Blah, blah." We got chatting and she said, "Oh, we're going to have to go for a coffee and a catch up." And I hadn't seen her for over 35 years.
Wow.
Since sort of senior school. And even then she was a couple of years below me. So I didn't really take much notice of her, to be honest, at school. Mm. She said, "We'll have to go for a coffee." I said, "Sod that. Let's go for something to eat." And we went for a meal. And that was that. Yeah. It's been together ever since. So
we were just saying, because that Leanne is clearly a part of your future now.
Yeah.
What else is the future
goal for
Paul? My next thing is grandkids for me. I can't wait. Christmas for me now is just rubbish. I can't stand it. It's the magic's gone. For me it is about the kids, isn't it? That's what makes Christmas. I don't drink, so I don't. You know, I get everybody else is sitting there getting sloshed. I have to watch my tongue. That's not me. All I can do is eat the biggest Christmas dinner I can eat and then sit there and watch everyone get drunk, and then at some point I'll go, right, that's enough for me, and I'll go to bed. I want the grandkids next. I can't wait for my son to give me some grandkids, and Leanne's kids as well, to give us grandkids. So that's a big thing for me. And I want to see the Northern Lights, so that's a bucket list thing for me. Do you remember where a couple of months ago when they said you can see them in England and this, that, and the other? Leanne was out with her friends, and I was at home on my own, and I knew there was a chance. And I saw on Facebook one of my friends from school is a photographer, and he took these amazing pictures of the Northern Lights over Epping, which is where I'm from, and which is about 5 miles away. So I jumped in the car. Flew over to Epping. I was there for about an hour, wandering around in the dark like an idiot. I saw a little bit of green in the distance. Yeah. Got home, and the whole neighbourhood were posting these pictures of the Northern Lights over my ass. didn't do too well there.
My kids saw it locally here in Milton Keynes, Bedford. My daughter was travelling back from Milton Keynes and stopped and pulled over, phoned me. It was about 11:45 or something. I can't remember. It was quite late, wasn't it? So I was sound asleep and slept through her phoning me and all that sort of stuff. Goodness knows if she's ever in trouble and she tries to phone me. Got no bloody chance, has she? Dear me. But anyway, that's cool. Wow. So lots of cool things.
Now then, go on.
A sneaky peek into the EV Rally 2025. Yeah. What's going through your twisted mind right now?
Okay, so I think we can have some fun with the name. So it's going to be the Ice EV Rally. I think we can have a bit of fun with that. So it's innovation and clean energy.
He's clever boy.
He is, isn't he?
Insights into it. Look, there's something bubbling away, which I want to say, but until formal agreements are in place, I don't know if I should. But there will be a day within the rally where we're very focused on innovation and the future of EV and what have you. But I guess the other two, the other main thing, I'm listening to the people on the rally, and you know, shorter days. We've proved these things can do this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the drive stop charge, the distances, the beast, the 360 miles in a day, and all that. We've done it. Now it's about, I think, sort of coming together and bringing people together to sort of show what's coming and what needs to happen in the future. And the only way that happens is not by spending 8 or 9 hours on the road. It happens by spending maybe 3 or 4 hours on the road, but then using the bits in between to try and make a difference by going to see stuff and how things are developed and whatever else. So that's my plan, is for days 1 and 2, 4 and 5, is to sort of make them a little bit shorter, or quite considerably shorter, but with some real showcase stuff being visited, if that makes sense. So if there are organizations out there, if there's plants, manufacturing, wind farms, solar farms, all of that stuff, anything that's new and funky and is clean and it feeds into the EV narrative, if you want us to come to your place, let me know, give me a shout, reach out. Let's have a chat and let's see if we can make it happen. But yeah, and also potential move from July to September is where we're at the moment. So that's the main rally. The Celtic ones are going to happen again, so Scotland and Wales. But I think in May, I think it is, there will be a 3-day EV Rally Europa 25.
Mm.
Okay. So the plan is France, Belgium, Holland, Germany on day one. Day two will be pretty much all Germany.
Sorry, hang on. France, Belgium, Germany, Holland, day one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Have you got the beast back in your head again? What's going on?
No, but this is a different one, isn't it? It's not the main one. So... So yeah, so that's day one. And day two is pretty much all Germany, but we finish in Luxembourg, and then day three will be Luxembourg, back through France, and finish back at Calais. So it'll be a 3-day rally. Again, I think what I'm doing with this one, or what we're doing with this one, is almost sort of taking a step back, maybe a year back in the main rally, and sort of starting from there with this one, because we kind of don't know what we're into over there. You know, they talk the talk. Let's see if they walk the walk over there, and let's see how good this charging network is apparently supposed to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I think they've got some of the same stuff that we've got, and then they've got. So I think Holland is the place that I'm most curious about. I think France, I was in France. They have definitely got Ionity, and you know, some of the other big charging companies are available too, but. but I use the UK app, a plug surfing app, which comes from out of the same stable as Allstar, and that was pretty good. So I'm curious, what's the purpose of it, Cole, from your perspective?
What we want to try and do now is go over there and see what there is to be learned, because we do hear good things. So we want to engage with businesses over there that are maybe doing something a little bit different. Try and get some good content while we're at it, and try and make some connections that can help with the spreading of the word, if that makes sense. And again, setting up these links for collaboration and to help sort of expand the whole e-mobility piece.
So I've got so many questions now, Cole. Is it going to be left-hand drive, right-hand drive?
I don't know yet. I don't know.
You haven't worked that bit out, have you?
No. Jason said, when are we doing it? I went, then. And he went, where are we going? I went, probably there. And that's about it so far.
I love it.
But you know, as these things always do, they'll evolve. You know, once we start to put the word out there, and hopefully anybody who sort of watches or listens to this, if you want to get involved, again, just reach out, get in touch, and let's have a chat. Let's see what we can do with this thing, because the one thing that these rallies do is they do make a noise, albeit quite electric vehicles, but the people on them, and the way that we do stuff over social media, people know.
You're saying
that it's
we're
going
noisy?
Yeah.
How rude. John is—he's a mouse, a little church mouse.
It is
there on that stair,
right there, and he's got clogs on.
A mouse with clogs on.
All right, you two. But what I can say is that I've said it many, many times. This week that you put the big EV rally on is the best week of my professional year. And the opportunity to do it more and more is something which just fills me full of joy, Colin. I can't thank you enough for all of the opportunities you personally have given me. And even when we haven't always communicated brilliantly, we found a way back. You are a tower of a human being. And genuinely, you have helped to make me who I am. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. And there's a bit of that in a ditto. So, look. We've worked together. We've known each other a long time, John. 2009, I think it was, the first ever Grief in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, and look where we've got to. And yeah, we had a little divorce in the middle there, didn't we? Somewhere, but it was
we separated.
Yeah, it's separated. Yeah, that's separate. What I meant. Yeah,
trial separation didn't work out.
Yeah, and now we're back together again and giving it another go. Yeah.
Love you. Should we renew our vows? Do you reckon?
Shall I just let you two get a room and I'll dear. Well, listen, this has been a joy, hasn't it, John? I mean, everything you said just there, you know, says the tower of the man. Cole, I mean, is there anything left out there? Is there anything else you wanted to say? We don't want to kind of come to an end with you thinking, oh, I wish I'd said, or one of these.
No, I've got a huge amount of respect and admiration for quite a few individuals in this industry, and you two are two of those. You know, Sarah, I mean, wow, what an amazing woman she is. And you know, I'm the thing is with this, with what I found certainly over the last sort of 4, 5, 6 years is I've got my work colleagues here at the office, my team who are great. And then there's people in the industry who I like and I get on with. And then there's those few that I class as my friends as well as, you know, people that I work in an industry with. And you two are two of them. There's Sarah. Obviously, you've got Boy Band and the banter that I have with him. Lorna, I mean, you know, Lorna and I don't think we'd spoken a word to each other 2.5, 3 years ago.
Mm.
But, you know, she's, you know, we've been on the phone today and we've been messaging and this, that and the other. She's a very inspirational woman and person for me. I choose those words carefully because we gave her the number one accolade in the GF 100. She is the most inspirational and influential person in our industry, in my opinion. And I don't use the word woman there, person. She's something to behold. And yeah, as I said, I class these people as my friends. You know, Dean Edger and Richard Parker and, you know, people who I genuinely can get on with. Rosario, who used to work with me and now works for Drax. And then obviously I've got, you know, as I said, the team that I work with here as well. So listen, I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody that's helped me over the years, because I couldn't have got to where I am without obviously my family, but also my work family. And that includes you guys at EV Cafe. You've been fantastic to me personally. So thank you.
Mate, it's absolutely our privilege to walk a little bit of your journey with you and to move everything in the right direction. It's what a journey. What a bloody journey.
Indeed. Amazing. Many more to come.
Many more to come. Well, yeah. And that's it, folks. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we're going to look forward to. We look forward to many rallies and events next year, but just kind of catching up with you. And not forgetting, of course, the annual get together and shindig at you've moved it to Coventry yeah. Stadium, is that right?
And it's the Coventry Building Society Arena. It used to be the Ricoh.
Yeah,
5th of December. We had to move because my worst nightmare last year was companies calling me saying, can I buy a table at the awards? And me going,
no,
I've got none left. I've got no room. So we outgrew the Motor Museum, which is a bit of a shame. It's a lovely place. There were lovely people there. They were great to deal with. But we're moving to somewhere a little bit bigger. We have been there before. So we know what we can do with the place and what we can do with the event. And 20 years this year. So we got DJ Dino.
He got DJ.
Yeah.
Eighties.
So we're gonna have a bit of a dance and a muck about afterwards. So
yeah, that's gonna be
good fun.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to celebrating with you, mate, and looking forward to the whole plethora of rallies coming to life for next year. And
hopefully you'll all be involved.
Yeah, well, one way or another, I'm sure.
Yeah, it would be nice. That depends on you, mate.
in your case,
in my case, not sure. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Let's hope. Indeed. Indeed.
But I may be a gun for hire, everybody. Who knows? I haven't had the call yet. Let's see. But listen, Cole, you've shared some really cool stuff with us today. And you know, let's not forget, if people are affected by anything that they've heard today, or challenged or encouraged to do something about it, I know that you will happily hear conversations, but there are a lot of organisations out there that are there to help. So
absolutely.
I think we'll probably put a couple of links. Perhaps you can recommend a couple of links for us to pop in the chat or in the description. So anybody, if you've got challenges, please do reach out to Cole. He'll help and direct you.
Yep.
Both John and I have got been trained in mental health awareness, and it matters. You know, how you feel and how life is for you really matters. So take that as an encouragement and look at what can happen. The massive achievements that both Cole and Greenfleet have brought to life for us, and what about just recognition for so many within industry? And it is really a great thing, the Greenfleet 100 and all the other initiatives that have come to life out of all of this. Go on, were you going to say something then?
Me or John?
I don't know. Somebody went...
I think that was Carl. Or was he just breathing?
No, just keep breathing, mate.
Just keep breathing.
Just keep breathing. So, that's it for this one. Cole's been great. John's been okay. And, I turned up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Do please share this content with as many people as possible, because it's good stuff, both from a business and a personal perspective. It's cracking. Do check in to the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast for more. Check in with the news for us every Friday at 10 o'clock and the webinar every third Wednesday. And you can find it all out on our website. Thanks ever so much, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, fellas. Been great
to
see
you. Cheers, Colin. Bless you. Thanks, buddy.
Have a great day, everyone.